Howdy, folks. Thanks for tuning in to Code Chat. Just a couple things before we get started. First of all, I should apologize for the complete nasal quality of my voice in the upcoming episode of Code Chat. I was just getting over a cold at the time. Sorry about that. Secondly, I want to let you know that I'm going to be taking a long holiday break from the Code Chat podcasts. My family has a big holiday season with a new son expected really soon now. I'm looking forward to coming back and bringing you more developer chat via Code Chat starting on February 2nd. For now, though, enjoy this episode, number 20 of Code Chat. Hey everybody, thank you for joining us on Code Chat. My name is Jeremy Foster, and you can find me online at codefoster.com and on Twitter at codefoster. And I'm joined today by Stefan. How are you doing today, Stefan?
Doing all right. Thanks for the invite, Jeremy.
Absolutely. Stefan and I are going to have a little Code Chat today about a startup effort that he's working on called FreeBusy. So why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself and about FreeBusy?
Yeah, for sure. So I'm Stefan. I'm the CEO of a startup called BizLogger that is putting out a project as a spin-off called FreeBusy.io. And the inspiration here was the fact that we take a lot of business meetings with partners, with friends, and there's always this dance back and forth that we have to do around when are people free and when are they busy to take a meeting with you or a coffee or a walk or whatever. And so you do this thing where you'll be like, well, I'm frizzy. I'm free on Tuesdays and Thursdays after three, but not this Tuesdays because I've got this kid thing. And like, I just wanted an easy way to share out my availability data with my business partners. So we took this opportunity to build out FreeBusy.io, which right now is a web app that's the front end of a service where people can connect up their calendars, and then you can publish your availability data and they publish theirs. And this way, you know when somebody's roughly available to hang out with you.
Now, what are you talking about? Because when I use Outlook to connect with somebody, it makes it nice and easy to collaborate on calendars.
Yeah, for sure. And that's because most likely, since you do work for Microsoft and Microsoft uses Outlook for all its employees, this works well inside the company. But if you had to schedule a meeting with, I don't know, someone outside, like, you know, when we schedule our meeting, yeah, you wouldn't have been able to see my FreeBusy, even though I also, you know, I'm our email is hosted on Office 365, but it is a different sort of organization, and that's just not a scenario that's supported.
Yeah, totally. And that's actually the way it is. I tend to collaborate more with folks on the outside than on the inside, and so there is this dance that I think we're all used to, and it's hilarious that we put off these pains and we just do these rituals of, you know, when are you free, give me some times, I'll come back with, and we do that for quite some time before we go, why don't we just have a service for this, why don't we have something that,
yeah.
So the real value in FreeBusy then is that it does this coordination regardless of your email provider, your calendar provider, right?
Exactly. We work with Office 365, with a corporate hosted Exchange server, with Google Calendar, with iCloud, with Yahoo, with Hotmail, Outlook.com, pretty much all major providers. So
okay,
we are integrated across the board. And no matter who the source, the owner of the calendar is, they connect up their calendar and other folks use our service, FreeBusy.io, to look up their availability info.
Okay. Well, that sounds like it's got a real market potential for sure. How's it going so far? Are you guys seeing some upticks?
When we launched, we've got a few early adopters, including Hanselman, which is a great reader's blog often. And basically, I think that the reason for the success is we've had some interesting features. For example, you can link up multiple calendars. And we're the only app out there that does this, or the only service, I should say. It's so let's say you have a work calendar that might be hosted on Office 365. Let's say you have a personal calendar on iCloud, and then maybe you have like a PTA or some sort of like a team match calendar on Google Calendar or somewhere.
Okay.
You can actually come to FreeBusy.io, connect up all those three calendars as your own, link them up, and then when somebody looks you up by either of the email addresses, maybe they know you from work, maybe they know you from your personal life, they come to FreeBusy, they put in the email address that they know you by, and then we unify availability across all those sources.
Oh, wow.
They don't necessarily know that the availability comes from all these things.
They don't see the individual
providers. The individual
providers.
Okay. Your privacy is, you know, we respect your privacy.
Yeah.
And so they just look you up by whomever they know you as. You know, so like I said, if
they might be a business contact, they might or a personal contact. Yeah.
And yet, like, let's say if you have a medical appointment with the wife that you have to take the kid to the pediatrician, and that's on your personal calendar, it'll show up that slot as busy, although your business contact won't really know when that's coming from, but it does unify. So I think this was a great feature. A lot of folks love it, and we saw actually lots of signups.
Excellent.
Since we launched, out of curiosity,
when I'm adding my calendar or calendars to my free busy, do I have the ability to add an iCal? So not just my business or work, but just a generic online calendar?
Totally. Okay. So we support any like iCal or CalDAV provider. In fact, so iCloud and Yahoo use as they are on the back end CalDAV servers.
Okay.
So that's how we integrate with them. But yeah, pretty much either one of those.
That's excellent. Now, I've not signed up for FreeBusy, so I'm suggesting that today on Code Chat, we basically just go through the process of signing me up. What do you think?
You should do that.
Okay, let's give it a try.
Let's get on it.
Now, I'm assuming that I'm just going to be opening a browser and starting there, right? What's the address?
Correct. It's freebusy.io.
There we go. All right. When you're free, connect your calendar. Okay, walk me through this, Stefan.
So the first thing that you do if you want to publish out your availability data is you connect your calendar. So you click the big button, and then it asks you for your email. And the reason we did this little wizard walkthrough, because the interesting fact is a lot of consumers don't know who is hosting their calendar.
Okay.
But it usually has to do with who's hosting their email.
Okay.
So we built a nifty tool that if you give us your email, we will do some nice heuristics to figure out where it's hosted.
Okay.
Like we'll figure out, are you hosted on Google Apps? Are you hosted on Office 365? Mm-hmm. Are you an iCloud user? And so on and so forth.
And what if it's some custom ISV that you've never heard of?
You get to pick your custom credentials. Okay. Basically, it sort of falls back onto the form that you've probably seen several times, maybe in Outlook, where you get like, give me your server, but like it would require you to know that information.
Okay. But if it's one of the common ones, which over 90% of people are on, I'm guessing, then you don't have to enter anything.
Exactly. So, we'll adjust to basically, let's say if you're on Gmail, and we'll adjust to asking you to authenticate against Gmail at that point. If you're on Office 365, you authenticate against Office 365. So in order to use the service, you don't really create your own username for the service, but rather we use the backend calendar as the way to authenticate you and to know that you are who you are.
Okay, so I just entered my address at Microsoft.com, and it's detected that this is an Office 365, which is correct. Now I'm ready to put in a password. Am I giving you this password, or is this third-party authentication, or what's going on here?
This is, so for specifically for Office 365, you are effectively giving us your password in order for us to connect. This is an unfortunate requirement of just the way the Microsoft service works right now.
Okay.
So different providers will support, like I said, OAuth or password-based. So Gmail and Outlook.com and Hotmail support OAuth stuff.
Okay.
Office 365, iCloud goes for passwords. And so it's very important, of course, that we take care of your credential.
Yeah.
Irrespective of the fact that it's an OAuth credential or a password. And so we've invested a lot on the back end to protect these things. And what we're doing here is we're taking the password, we're encrypting it, of course, in transit with SSL, but we're also encrypting it at rest when it gets to the server, when it's stored.
When it's sitting in your database.
When it's sitting, exactly.
Okay.
We use Azure Table Storage.
Okay.
And the way this works is when the production machine, the production server got instantiated for the first time, it self-generated an RSA 4096-bit key that's sitting just on that machine. And then it's using that key to encrypt these passwords in storage. The interesting part here is that the way this key is provisioned, our DevOps, neither the developers nor our operations staff who do maintenance on the machines have access to this key.
Interesting.
So it's sitting in the certificate store that the Windows OS is sort of providing, and it gets there through the Azure Management interface. So the credential for the Azure Management service that provides this key to all the production machines is only being held by like one single person in the company, and it's not say the CEO, for example, myself, in this case, and so our DevOps staff have credentials that are not administrative on that machine. They can perform all sorts of other duties, but they cannot get access to this key that was just generated on that machine to encrypt the password. So this is our way of implementing dual controls, if you wish, and providing one more safeguard. For passwords.
It's interesting. So all of this respectable effort that you guys have put into making sure that this is protected. First of all, this is all necessary in order to instill trust in the people that are going to on-ramp to your service.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
I mean, that's what you're trying to do, is tell them, I trust you. I mean, what else could we do besides, you know, request a list of your volunteer service or something to figure out whether or not we should trust you? But it also highlights the benefit of a modern authentication routine like OAuth.
For sure.
Because then it just takes out of the equation. It's not a matter of the standard. It's the fact that you, as the application provider, are not having to deal with credentials, right?
For sure. And so. We would love to see more providers move to the OAuth model, because it does offer a fine-grained control, and to folks like us who write services, you know, against the calendar providers, we don't necessarily, we don't require, to have access. We would love to just have specific access, and we do. Yeah. For services that support OAuth, we only request permissions to access the calendar and nothing else.
Okay. And I do happen to know that the Office 365 API has undergone some iterations, and I'll put some information at the bottom of the screen so that you can go look this up, but it does actually support an OAuth routine now, so you can go through that workflow. And of course, companies like yourself have to grok that and adopt that and implement that. But that's nice that exists in all the.
Yeah, well, providers. So I heard recently that something came out on that front, so we'll definitely switch over to OAuth for Office 365.
Now, if I sign in initially with one that doesn't require that does support the OAuth routine, and I enter my password, am I able to only select the services that do support it, so that I'm never giving my.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, you could do a quick test here. Is if you were to click the back button and enter, maybe delete Microsoft.com and put Gmail instead there. It's all right.
That's my personal. That's fine.
Oh, okay. So see, the moment you put the live, we recognize that this provider supports OAuth, and if you click this button, a little pop-up comes up, and it'll tell you exactly like what permissions we request.
Okay. Now, if I go down this path, though, I'm still going to be able to bring in my work email.
Absolutely.
Address
absolutely.
Point,
and we
right?
could go when we okay, could go through this. Yeah, through this example right now.
Okay. So we're going to go ahead and sign in. This is third party. So now this is a familiar routine for me. I like that I, as the consumer, I know what's going on, and it's told exactly to me what I'm authorizing, and I don't feel like I'm having to think about whether or not I trust FreeBSY.
So here's an interesting part of the sign-up process. Basically, after you connect your calendar, we generate for you your own personal URL, and this is what you would give to business partners or to friends. As a way for them to check your schedule.
Okay.
So it's easy, it's familiar, it's got your email address in there. Most people who want to meet with you already know your email address.
Yeah.
So let's say somehow like you didn't do that for a particular person, but they still want to look up your schedule. They could always come to the site, click on the check a schedule, put your email address, and it'll effectively take them.
And then does this already work?
This already works, yes.
Okay, so let me jump over here. FreeBSY.io, and then I know my own email address.
Exactly.
Am I going to need the www on the beginning? I like to omit that for.
No,
I don't look at that.
So this is now going out and talking to live. And
now everybody
your schedule.
Is going to know exactly when I'm free and busy, which is fine.
Yeah.
Pretty busy.
Yeah. So actually, let's go ahead and connect your other calendar. So from the top right corner over there where you have your menu, you can say link another calendar.
Okay.
And now go through the routine with your Microsoft.
There we go. Of course, we've got to have an account in every major provider, right?
That's right.
Okay, now here's where I'm adding my actual authentication.
So So the other interesting thing that we do is when you link up multiple calendars, we use this very cool library from the ASP.NET team, SignalR.
Oh, yeah.
So when we produce the unified schedule, we actually in asynchronously go talk to every provider and part, and so you start seeing parts of the calendar come through as each calendar gives us that information.
Now that seems like an asynchronous function to me, but not necessarily a WebSockets function. So why do you require SignalR for doing that?
It's because we, let's see, actually give it another chance here. Not exactly interesting, serious. Maybe there's a policy here around the password. But we can, let's switch back a little bit to the FreeBSY view. Actually, you can, on the top right thing, you can just see check my schedule.
Okay.
So I was talking about this view right here.
Yeah.
And so had the linking with the Microsoft.com account just worked a second ago, you would have seen progressively like your schedule from live.com come through your schedule for, so just for a kind of a fast progress. And you were saying like why we require SignalR is just to maintain, basically we're maintaining an active connection to the server as each of these chunks of availability data is coming through. And so on the back end, we have a lot of asynchronous processing going and getting these things, and we want the browser to wait, you know, as these chunks are coming through.
It's because the back end has to go do this work, and then
and then
push this to the client.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. So the back end is going. We're firing up multiple simultaneous tasks, requesting the schedule, and as the information is coming through, we're sort of streaming it, if you wish, to the client. And in fact, you could see this if you go to check a schedule. You can now look up my schedule, for example.
Okay, cool. Let's do it the way I know. Let's do it like this. And it was
at bizlogr.com.
Okay.
So Stefan@bizlogr.com is my email address if you need to.
And it doesn't matter which of your email addresses that is.
And it doesn't matter. And you can kind of see a little bit the progress here that it was pretty fast, but like at first like a chunk came over here, then another chunk came over here.
Yeah.
And that's because I've got multiple calendars kind of linked up and we're trying to get the information and display it as fast as possible.
Okay, and this is a big table in HTML on the client side, and you're basically just populating that with some more data.
Exactly. This is, in fact, using our API, and this is like something that I wanted to talk about right now because we're interested in getting feedback from other developers.
Okay.
And so in order to produce this view, we want to enable everyone to integrate availability data into their applications, such that you know, ideally, of course, like when you and I email and want to meet, you know, you could say, "Oh, I wonder like when Stefan is free," and you could go to FreeBSY.io and check my schedule. But wouldn't it be nice to be like right there for you, like in the application that you use to like do emailing with or calendaring with? And so for this reason, we basically took the functionality that's putting forth that's building this view here, and we're exposing it as an API.
Oh, excellent.
And so if we scroll to the bottom of the screen, there's a little link here to the API. While that's loading up, sorry about that. Can you type a little help at the end there?
Totally understandable.
It's we're starting early. A couple of links broken here and there. So the API that we put forth is this particular weak API. So you could, that same information that produces that view that you can get through our web app, our service can give it to you by calling this rate REST API, and we hope that folks will will integrate it in email clients. We certainly want to put out a plugin for Outlook, so that you can see it like right there in Outlook, maybe like the next available time this person is busy, or even in the style of how Exchange shows you for your internal team's availability. We could build something like that, or for Gmail. We would love to do that. Of course, Gmail doesn't have sort of a plugin model, so we kind of do a little bit of hacking to show this information, but we figured out how, and I think we'll put that out soon. But nevertheless, let's give this API a try.
Just click on it?
So clicking on it will bring up the documentation.
Okay.
And then maybe using curl or PowerShell or something, we could try it out.
I'm going to try it with Fiddler here. We'll see how this goes.
Okay, so the thinking here is that for the APIs, so we offer an API that is modeled after the Google Calendar FreeBSY API. The idea here is that if you're already writing applications that use FreeBSY from Google, you can just switch to our service without any modifications to your code, and it'll continue to work. But those APIs are a little bit cumbersome to use in the sense that they require you to format, to post the data, and so we wanted to make it even easier. And we realized that when you display the data, most apps need to do, the Google API, for example, or the Exchange Web Services API, for that matter, they give you the ability to do arbitrary date ranges. Mm-hmm. But for most cases, people want to show a weekly view.
Yeah.
And so we made it easy. Basically, you give us a date, and then we return to you either 5 or 7 days worth of availability around that date. Like we figure out what week,
if it's Monday,
we figure out which week that date belongs to. Imagine you're writing a mobile app. Let's say you've got contacts on the phone, you're looking at contacts, you could tap a contact and you could see their weekly availability. And then you would just pass to us like today's date. We're even thinking of making the parameter optional and just inferring today if you just call it without the parameter. And then we return to you that week's FreeBSY, because that's what most apps we noticed want to display.
Yeah.
So again, making it easy at the API level to adopting. And that's what this particular thing that I was going to have you try is doing, is basically just taking a single date, and we're figuring it out on the back end, like to which week that date belongs to, and then we're returning you that work week worth of availability.
Okay.
We're basically interested from all of the folks out there, from you as developers, to get feedback on whether this approach, where we do a little bit of a higher level semantic API, would make it easier to integrate in your apps.
Excellent. How would a developer give that kind of feedback to you? How would they kind of interact with you and your team?
Yeah, so first of course, you can always email me, Stefan@bizlogr.com, or we have a contact us form on the website, and shoot us an email there or leave us a message. And happy to take the discussion further.
Awesome. Yeah, I know normally, especially startups, we're just clamoring for really good feedback from developers. Like if somebody's actually using it, then they're probably running into the real pain points or the real joys, and so that kind of feedback is real helpful.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're doing an API call here, and I've got it kind of mostly set up. I forgot what you said, the time zone.
So let's use the time zone convention is this thing called the TZ database, Olson, some people refer. So if we just do America with a capital, I don't think it matters, capital, after America, there's a slash, and then Los_Angeles.
Like that,
okay. Exactly.
Great. And hopefully we are ready there. Okay, this call has gone out.
So we're missing a little. Due to the fact of how I'm parsing here, we need to indicate right at the end of the URL with a slash the fact that that is a parameter in the query string. So I'm just doing regular expression parsing on these incoming parameters to detect which one is the email.
Okay.
And that's why it's.
So that's a critical slash there.
That's
and I
right.
think so far, I think I got that from your. Yeah, so you might want to update your documentation
that's right.
there
because
I copied
right.
it from
we
there.
We should do that.
Excellent. Okay, so now I'm going to go ahead and execute that, and we'll go take a look at it. It's out, it's back, we've got an issue.
Let me see here. What is. Oh, sorry, the. So I think the host is actually maybe when you formatted this. The host.
Look at that. That's never going to work.
So it's API.freebsy.io /beta/week, there we go. The beta just means this is the way we version things.
Okay.
So I wanted to put it out there to be transparent to everyone that it is a beta API that is actively requesting feedback and that we may change things here and there.
That's excellent. And this is excellent too. Whenever I see this icon, I'm a happy man right there.
So there you go. You got a JSON response.
Yep.
And again, this is where we would love to get folks' feedback. What we do here is we've grouped the response by day.
Okay.
So because we know, so folks who are using this higher level API are looking to build a week view. And so we grouped the availability by day so that you can easily iterate and display kind of day by day things in your UI. And then we're also giving you hints, like we're returning for each day of the week index and then the name. So you may not have like, it depends from client to client. If you have the ability to turn a particular date into a display string. So we thought we'd be helpful and we do all those calculations on the server side and include it for you so that you can use very, like let's say, you know, in the view that we saw up on the website, there's the labels right at the top, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And then you could just pick those up from the results.
What if a person's really controlling about their message size and they would rather not receive this redundant information and just get a one?
Yeah, good point. We should, so that is a good piece of feedback. And if that turns out to be the case, we'll do a pared down version of this. The generic API that allows you to pass in just an arbitrary date range, that will just return minimal information about the busy slots. And then we thought about all sorts of crazy ideas, like we thought about returning like a matrix thing. You know, you give us like a time slot, like a resolution of 30 minutes, let's say, for the time slot, and then we return to you a matrix, and so that you can just draw empty, full, empty, full, empty, you know, like you just kind of a more visual response.
Yeah.
So, and the reason I'm thinking up of all these things is because as I was writing clients for the service, whether web clients or mobile clients or plugins, I'm realizing that on the client side, you go through the same logic sort of every time, be like, okay, let me figure out when is the beginning of the week, when is the end of the week, what are the week day names? And so I was like, can we just save a developer this time and just, pre-organize, if you wish, the data that comes back, anticipating the way that it'll be rendered visually.
So it probably would have fit better if I would have asked this before, but I'm just thinking of it now. How much information comes back from FreeBSY about these things on my calendar? I'm giving this to everybody, anybody and everybody who asks. So is it just the title of the appointment, or is it the body of the appointment, or what? Or is it even the title?
Yeah, it's not even the title. So what we do is we uphold a certain privacy standards towards the users who sign up with FreeBSY.
Okay.
And we say two things. Number one is we won't publish the details of the appointment because it's about understanding when you're free, not like sharing your whole calendar with the whole world.
Okay.
And number two is you control even the availability window. So when you sign up, there'll be a settings page where you can say, you know what, I don't care for people to see when I'm available 24 hours a day. My core business hours are, let's say, 8 to 2, 8 a.m. to 2 p.m., and that's only the slots that I want you to show. So the person who signs up for the service makes these decisions, and then the API respects those decisions.
Okay.
It's not just like we'll let anybody out there building apps like randomly access stuff in the calendar. Not at all. We act as this layer of just maintaining a certain standard of privacy that the user who signed up. Of course, if that user wants to publish everything, they could just turn all these privacy things off.
Yeah.
But you have, or for example, let's say you want to use this for personal reasons, and you're meeting with your buddies to do, a league soccer game or somewhere, and you just want to publish the weekend schedule.
Yeah.
And so you just filter down those things to weekend, and the API will only return weekends. And so the where we're going with this next is to build maybe group scheduling features. So imagine you come to the app and then you list a bunch of emails of people that you want to, let's say, play a game, meet for a league game with. And then we will build, a heat map of availability. Like we'll overlay everything together.
Just like Outlook does for me.
Yeah, except what we've noticed is that Outlook is very strict and that it'll try to find like the next slot when everybody is free. And mm-hmm. for a group of like, let's say five or more people, that's virtually like no
yeah.
slot.
Yeah, that's like next year.
Exactly. So we are realizing that the tools need to be more fluid in understanding people's schedules. And then this is where the idea of a heat map got born, where you could see the time of least conflicts.
Oh, I see.
You know, that people have, which is what usually ends up happening. Like every time I used Outlook, I kind of overrode that feature, and I yeah. manually was calculating least conflicts
sure.
and then trying to ask those folks.
Come to think of it, I don't use it either. I usually glance through and look for the spots
yeah.
manually.
Yeah. So one thing that we would love to work with other developers on is building interesting visualization. So I think that the traditional calendar week view hasn't evolved much in decades, mm-hmm. frankly, and we think it could be better.
Okay, now what if I am looking to set up a meeting with you next week and I can glance at your free busy? Is there any way to, for instance, you can send me your free busy URL if I haven't, you know, assumed that you have it and guessed by way of your URL. But then once I see it, is there any way to interact through it, or is it read-only? Is it information-only?
So at the moment, the view that you saw that we put out mm-hmm. is read-only, but we certainly have features on the backlog to make it so where you could, you know, click a slot
yeah.
and send a meeting request to that person. Like, we'll do that for you and as a way to book them. And we think a lot of folks like who are freelancers, perhaps, or small business owners who want to take appointments could use this as a very easy way to literally manage their business schedule.
Mm-hmm.
So because it's integrated right into the back end, you don't need to buy anything or buy
yeah.
scheduling software. Like, you just so we will make that. We're also thinking about an enterprise scenario where we do secure intercompany business free busy sharing.
Mm-hmm.
The idea there is, again, like large enterprises with their suppliers.
Mm-hmm.
And prior to doing the startup, I also worked for a large company, and it was always cumbersome. You know, you had meetings with 20 people in different time zones, and you had no idea outside of your company when folks were busy. So we're thinking that enterprises may be interested in a more tied down, secure version of this, where you control exactly who sees the view.
Yeah.
Itself.
All right. Well, hey, before we wrap it up, is there anything else you want to talk about, just addressing developers in general, or talking about where FreeBusy is going to go in the future, or anything like that?
I just want to say that for us, so my company specializes in data mining, email, calendar, contacts, and location data for various business purposes.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen freebusy.io here for time management.
Mm-hmm.
We also put out a tool, mylogger.com, mylogr.com, that
okay.
can turn your calendar into mileage logs. So we're doing lots of interesting things with calendaring and email. So if this is something that interests you, by all means, contact us, use our API, let me know what else you need.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, I'll certainly put the URLs up on the screen so people have links to that.
Cool.
Well, thanks a lot for your time today, Stefan. This has been really cool. Best of luck for sure with your startup.
Appreciate it. Much appreciated. And best of luck to everyone out there.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for joining us on Code Chat. See you next time.